You know, because we are here this morning, we are familiar with praise as worship. That's what we're here. That's what we've already been doing together, praise as worship. But it seems to me that few of us in this room understand praise as a weapon of warfare. We don't make that connection. We don't understand what that is. Worship as a weapon of warfare. When we are in a confrontation, when something is going on in our lives that are right before us, our first reaction is defensive. But we can, according to this book, we can become offensive when we lift up and exalt the name of the Lord. Worship and warfare. Worship and warfare? You probably thought about those things as sort of opposite extremes, not friends. But it's not my idea this morning. I want to show you in the Word of God, with the minutes we have together, that they are very much friends, worship, and warfare. Maybe you've not thought about it that way before, but as you search the Bible, all the great stories in the Old and New Testaments together, it is taught there all through this book. You think about some of the stories in the Old Testament, like Joshua, for example, and you'll find that the people of God constantly were marching into battle and praising and singing as they went. It was weird. None of the other armies did that, but God's people did. They would march into a war singing and praising and honoring God. And those that did won the battle. And so often in the record of the Old Testament, those who did not have a heart that was in worship of the Father as they went into battle were often defeated. To be victorious required worship. And my question is this morning, why should things be any different today? Really? It seems to me that most of us here this morning make no connection with the worship and praise of our God and the warfare and the war that's going on all the time at us, attacking us from the outside all week long. We don't make that connection, and yet worship cleanses our hearts and so that we can see how to fight, and then we can clear things up in our lives and do the things the way God wants us to do them. One great little devotional that I have has thoughts through the whole year, like you have many of those, says the following for a couple of weeks ago. Satan has an allergic reaction whenever there is true worship. Satan has an allergic reaction whenever there is true worship. That's really an interesting way to visualize it, picturing it as when we break out in praise, the devil breaks out in hives. See? Think about that. You remember that. When you're praising, he's defeated. What I do know is that when the enemy gets so discouraged and uncomfortable with us on those occasions that we lift our eyes off of ourselves and we turn them upward and we are focused on God himself, why he hates that. That is when God's works and promises come into play. That's when we take powerful weapons in hand, because the forces of hell cannot prevail against the uplifted name of Christ. My friends, when we worship God personally all week long, Satan is out of his league. Worship has always been that weapon of warfare. There are so many examples in Scripture. Think about that time when Paul and Silas found themselves in jail. What were they doing? They were fighting the enemy with praise and worship and singing songs, and people were listening. They were doing that, actually doing that. Or how about Jonah, that very reluctant missionary who refused to go there and instead went there and learned the lesson the hard way when he ended up in the belly of a whale of some sort. And you know what he was doing. He was praising and singing and worshiping God. Or how about David? We studied the life of David last fall, who composed so many of the Psalms that we enjoy and offered them up to God in all kinds of circumstances of his life to defeat the enemy, and he did so often in those Psalms, singing them, reading them, offering them, worshiping God through them on his own. In that series of messages, we came across a king by the name of Jehoshaphat. How'd you like to have a name like that? And in the many battles with the enemy, this was a king that finally learned a lesson that many other kings never seemed to learn, that the heart of the battle is the battle for the heart. The heart of the battle is the battle for the heart. And to understand that lesson and learn this morning just for a moment why that seems so important to me in our lives this morning and this week, would you turn with me, if you brought a Bible with you? Find 2 Chronicles 20, not Corinthians, that's in the New Testament. Go in the Old Testament and find the book of law, the record of history, Chronicles, the second book of Chronicles, chapter 20. And I think we learned this lesson well from this king who listened well. As you will see in the context, as you find that verse, the attackers were the Ammonites and the Moabites, and they were joined by a third army from beyond the Dead Sea. It was a serious challenge, and the goal of this war was nothing less than the overthrow of this king. What is he going to do? 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, Jehoshaphat was afraid. Now, don't be too hard on him as I read this. So would you. So would I. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. The king is afraid. And I'm not surprised. It seems to me there would be something wrong with this man if there hadn't been some fear involved. Fear is normal. And a recognition, certainly in this case, that circumstances are overwhelming and that they lack the resources for the challenge that was confronting them. It looked almost impossible to march into battle the way we are right now. The king knew that his nation was completely overmatched from a military point of view. His hope would lay not only in the strength of God, not the strength of numbers, not in his nation. And that is why he calls the people together for a national fast. It was the first thing this king did, not the last. As we read the verses that follow, we find the king standing before his people, a lot of folks, and taking the lead in worshiping and honoring and praising God. And he praises God for who he is. And then he praises God for what he has done. And then he praises God for what he's going to do in the future. He turns his praise to petition and deep within his heart asks God to intervene and show forth his power on behalf of his people. Here come the armies, God. Here they come that have always been a front to you. And they come to destroy us and your land. Please hear me. We cry out to you. Judge them on behalf of his people. King Jehoshaphat threw himself upon the mercy of God. And notice with me what happens. Verse 5. Then the king stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hands, so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? Verse 10. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. And see how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. Underline this. Mark this in your heart. Maybe your Bible. O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Worship and warfare. In verse 15, here comes the message. Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Verse 17, you need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord. They showed it in their actions. They got on the ground worshiping the Lord. That's the power of praise and worship as a weapon of warfare. I suggest to you this morning, few of us ever think about. It's a different war. I know that. We're not facing an army and soldiers and swords, and we're not going against that this week. But we're faced with a tougher enemy out there. One, the Bible says, is always working on you to disrupt you and me, to trip us up, and we forget he's even there. And we forget there is an enemy until we think about it or read about it next Sunday. But all week long, we're defeated and hurting because we have failed to realize that my worship, my personal worship with God, is a weapon of warfare against that enemy, and it must be there. Must be there. Worship and warfare were intertwined in a way that we, I think, centuries later would never even have imagined if we weren't able to read about it and recognize it here. Now, the nation's gathering comes to a close, but their worship does not. The next day, the battle begins. The army continues to worship even as they face the enemy. Just think if you were one of the soldiers trying to trust in your leader and in your God and understanding what he has proclaimed. You don't need to sharpen anything but your heart to me. We learn here that the army starts singing, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Well, you look at it. Verse 21. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army. And here's what they sang and what they said. Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. When they began singing and praising, look at this, the Lord set ambushes against the enemy and they were routed. Period. That's all it really tells us, is that they won. God won. Because his people were in praise and worship and used it as a mighty weapon of warfare. They did as God, they obeyed what God said, and they marched out there in the face of an overwhelming set of circumstances and were singing and praising and worshiping God. And somehow, it's like a miracle or something, God had the enemies fight themselves. And they went after themselves and attacked themselves. And God's people, the army, were just standing there watching this thing happen. It's just like, wow, God is in this. God is here. God is giving us victory. We see that just as battle plans were defined through worship, so worship culminated on the battlefield. I believe there's a wonderful lesson in here for us this morning. When we go forth into battle this week, what kind of an enemy are you going to face? He's tough. He schemes. He tries to make trouble. He knows you better than you know yourself. So he's going to do everything he can to make you slip. Trip you up again. That's the enemy. He's going to work hard at it. He loves it. He wants victory. You must not let him have it. But when you face that crisis, that career issue, seemingly a financial disaster, a relationship that's disrupted, something that you and I will face this week, we can, on the one hand, go in our own weakness and face what the Bible says is certain defeat, or two, you and I can take the power of God with us and claim victory. That's what he said. That's what he did. He proved it. Our God showed how that's done. How do we do that? Through personal praise and worship all week long. Listen, that's not just my suggestion. I believe this is God's word. We know that as believers. We simply love, adore, worship, and praise his name, and we take the temple of the Holy Spirit with us, right? We looked at that 3 Sundays ago. We take him with us when we leave this building. That's when the war really starts. That's when things really begin to happen and go sour so much of the time, all week long, because the enemy wants that. He wants you discouraged in me. We must not let him have that. Personal praise and worship. We take the temple of God with us at work, at school, at the store, wherever we happen to be, at home. He goes with us through the week. And as we worship, our life strategies come together in ways, I tell you, we could never have imagined or even formulated on our own. And then as we face the challenges head on, and there will be, you mark it, we will have some challenges this week before we all meet again. Something will come up. Something will be there. The enemy wants to do that and discourage us. We must praise, keep singing, realizing he is greater than he that is in the world, that might face the challenge and stand in the right path, honoring and praising our God. Personal worship will totally change the way we see what happens this week, including some pretty serious issues of spiritual warfare that will occur to many of us this week. It'll happen. The challenge is for us to not focus on the misery of the crisis, but on the mastery of Jesus in our hearts. And then follow him into battle. Follow him and see if Satan himself doesn't turn and flee and run and terrified because of the sounds of godly people in praise and worship. That's what the Bible says. This whole warfare issue is so difficult for us because we don't connect our week that way. This whole business of an enemy and Satan, and it's real, and there's demons, and it's scary, and he's trying to scheme against me, just seems to remain up here in the head. That level, that spiritual level, I know that is true. We're reading about it this morning. It worked before, but you and I all week, we just keep it up here. We just think about that. It really never changes until we get to the physical level and you and I do something different in our behavior. Like pray. Like really pray. Or really sing. Really sing something out to God, to honor him in that way, to move from just the head knowledge of realizing that this stuff is true and there's something going on this week, to realizing I'm going to be defeated again unless I really trust in God and I praise him and worship him and change something in my behavior. I will want to pray. I will lift up my hands. I will read. I will choose to change something in my behavior. And what I want to suggest to us this morning, I want to suggest that we think about creating a different habit. I don't know what your life is like this week and what the normal things you go through are all about and your schedule and stuff like that, but think for a moment, how do you worship God during the week? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit is here. He's going with you. He's marching with you in this challenge and that challenge. How do you spend time in worship? If you do it early in the morning, great. How about changing that habit? Do it at night once. Tonight. Change the habit. Think about it differently. If you pray by yourself, how about changing the habit? Now, many of us were taught from childhood, the time when we saw all these kids up here, that age. I was taught in our home, four boys around the table. Now, it's time we're going to pray. Now, fold your hands and close your eyes and pray. I was taught that at 4 years old, and I'm still doing it. Not wrong, is it? Obviously, Dad wanted me to not be focused on what's for dinner, what everybody else is doing around the table, but you know, we're going to try to talk to God for a moment, so fold your hands and close your eyes and pray. Change that this week. Make a new habit. Try it. Open your eyes when you're praying. Some of you didn't even know you could do that. You can. I don't see anything in the Word at all about eyes shut, and you can lift up your eyes. Try it. How about this one? Have a habit. Take a walk, because I know you're going to want me to take a walk. Take a walk, and while we're walking, pray. Can you do two things at once like that? Kind of difficult. For me, it's going to be kind of hard. But, you know, I don't have to close my eyes. That would be dangerous. Just try a new habit. Just walk and pray. Some folks might think it looks kind of funny. Somebody might even want to inquire what in the world's going on there. Change the habit. Because we will not defeat the enemy by just a head knowledge of all this stuff that we know we're supposed to do. We got to change our behavior. And maybe instead of folding your hands and closing your eyes, here's a stretch, lift your hands up. But that's so charismatic. It just feels like other churches do a lot of that. I don't know, it just feels weird. Oh, it feels good. It's not charismatic. There's so many beautiful psalms. Lift your hands. We sing them all the time. And you know what we do in this church? Most of us are still afraid to do it, even when it says to do it. Try it. Change a habit. Now, maybe not when you're walking. Somebody will call the police. It will look so weird. But, you know, if you're home and you're alone, how about changing your behavior by just, God, I've done this before. I love you, Lord. I'm facing that horrible thing tomorrow morning. I'm scared about it. I'm afraid. I need you to go before me, oh God, and help me through this. I walk through it with you, with your help. Please help me right now. I want to defeat that enemy. Oh God, your kingdom is everlasting. Your love goes on and on. Walk with me. Help me. It'd be a whole new way to pray. Then. Now, how about as a family? What kind of habits do you have as a family? It used to be the family I grew up in, we all always had dinner together. It was some kind of a rule, and there weren't very many other things to do, I guess. Really, I guess there were. We always had dinner together. So few of you as families even get a chance to do that. I know that. Because you're coming back from soccer and a lot of great fun things, but we're so busy. But if you have a chance to have the family sit at the table and have a meal, then pray before the meal. But change the habit. Or somebody starts out, now I lay me down. Wait a minute. Wrong prayer. You get all messed up when you try something different. We used to have, you know, all four boys had to take their turn, and so that was the big deal. It was his turn. No, it's your turn. No, it's not. Change the habit. Sing the prayer. Anybody in your group sing? Your family sing? You all can sing. Sing it. See? Just start praising him in song. We used to do that one. I told it before. Praise God from whom. Start singing. The dad would just smile and we'd all find a part. But it just changed the habit. It's good. It's good. Now, if you do that every night, it gets old too. This battle that you and I are in this week, and it is going to be real. Satan is alive and well. The word tells me he's getting stronger and stronger and trying harder and harder on you and me to trip us up and knock us down again. We need God's help. So every time we're faced with the enemy, something before us that's going to knock us again, sing. Pray. Call on him. Get your hands up. Walk and pray. Change the habit a bit. Make a behavioral change in your heart and your life this week. And God promised this king with the long name that it would work. And he promises you in this book, all the way through it, that you can have, and I can have the same victory if we will do that. We will understand personal prayer and worship. That's been my theme these days because I fear that we often think of worship as just Sunday morning, this hour, and we're almost out of here. And then we don't have to do this. I mean, we can do this next week. And I want so much that God sees us in worship and praise all week long at home and wherever we are. That's been the whole point here. And guess what? If we're going to have victory, we got to do it all week long. Temple of the Holy Spirit, when I'm facing with that challenge, pray. Praise. Honor him. Sing. Think about some chorus or even a hymn, even an old hymn you love. Something. Start singing it. It'll give you victory. Not my idea. It's his. In fact, he says, if you don't, you'll be defeated again. And you're going to come back next Sunday thinking, oh, man. I'm still plagued with the same junk. I want victory because I got some areas too. And they're none of your business. But I got areas too, just like you. Oh, God, give us victory. Let's pray.